Bill looks name in vain. All right, let's go ahead. I think using Dr. Durst's slides or images from a couple weeks ago, I do have a couple. I don't know if we get it on there. So first one is to love God, or God is the only one. Two is the little man bowing that makes the kind of looks like a number two there. Two, no idols. And then three is turned on its side and says, don't misuse God's name in vain, or don't use God's name. And so this morning we're going to look at commandment number three, that you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. What is vain? What does that mean? I'm going to generally describe it as empty, frivolous, and insincere. So I'm going to say it's empty, frivolous, and insincere. And throughout the message this morning, I may use different descriptors. Before we begin, let me go ahead and pray and commit our time before the Lord. Lord, we want to just thank you for this morning, that we may gather together as your people in your house and to look at your word. And we pray that our time would not be in vain. It would not be empty, frivolous, or insincere, but rather we come with attention to your word and to attention to the moving of the Holy Spirit. We ask that your spirit would speak truth through your word into our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The third commandment is a directive not to dishonor God's character by misusage of his name, and to misrepresent who God truly is. As we look at commandment number three, it should be understood in relationship to the first two commandments. First one is, you shall have no other gods before God. Second, you shall not create an image of God that does not truly biblically represent him. And so commandment number three, when we're studying the commandment in this sequence, it tells us that if you accept the first two commandments and obey the first two commandments, then your treatment of God confirms your beliefs. I did a little research on my name, and for those of us who are Chinese, we get the privilege of having two names. My Chinese name is Zhao Kaigi. That's Zhao is the Chao part there, and Kaigi is the second part. And so not being a great Chinese son, I really didn't know what my name meant. So I had to call and ask my parents what my name meant. And the Gi part is knowledge or wisdom. And I know some of you may be surprised at that. And so it is kind of like the word, it comes or is coming, knowledge or wisdom. And I thought, I don't know at times. At times I am not living up to my name. So for my English name, it is John, obviously. And I looked that up. And my parents, when they named me, they didn't have Google. They didn't have kind of go and search, you know, what do names mean. So my dad named me John. Yeah, John. And if you do a Google search of John Chow, there's like thousands of us now. And so, and even the doctor who delivered me thought, John, there's so many Johns. And so he respected my dad's decision. He gave me my middle name, which is Thomas. So my full name is John Thomas Chow. And so I looked up what John meant, and it says God's grace or God's graciousness. And I just kind of have to look at God's sovereignty and just be blessed by it, because certainly my parents didn't know about God's grace. Certainly didn't think that John would be a recipient of God's grace. But here I am as a child of God, having received God's grace. So God's just so good, and he's named me appropriately, someone to have received his grace. I don't know what your names may mean, but names do have meaning to it. And often It's our conduct, it's our character, it's our reputation that helps describe our names. What is God's name? As we've read in Exodus chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, please turn with that. Turn to this passage. God also has a name. Exodus 3:13, and Moses said to God, "Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say, now they may say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God said to them, "I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent you.'" God furthermore said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations.'" God, presenting himself to Moses, he discloses his name, which is totally and completely appropriate for who he is. God uses the verb "I am." It's not just a name, it's not just a noun, but he uses the verb "I am." And some of us may be familiar with the four letters that spell out Yahweh, YHWH. In your Bibles, when you see the word "Lord," it's capital LORD. The ORD is slightly smaller than the L, but it's in capital, and that is associated with this word Yahweh or the Lord. And so God is declaring who he is, that "I am." He's saying that "I am self-existent, that I am self-sufficient, that I am sovereign, I am dependent on no one, I am dependent on nothing, I have no beginning, and I have no end." What a proclamation that he makes about himself. No, there's no single word that you're familiar with, that we're familiar with, that is going to capture who I am. So, I am. Jesus, when he's speaking to the Jews, and we can find this in John chapter 8, I believe, that he says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." And when the Jews had heard this, they instantly knew who Jesus was calling himself. They said that when Jesus says, "I am," they knew that he was making this connection to God himself. And so they did not receive that very well. They pick up stones and try to stone him. But that is who Jesus is, that he is this great "I am." I have a couple passages here that I want us to reflect on. Psalms 145:3 describes his greatness is beyond explanation. "Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Psalms 147:5, "Understanding is infinite, and his understanding is infinite. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite." Psalms 139:6, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it." That his knowledge is beyond human comprehension. Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of his wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways." Isaiah 55:9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Isaiah 43:10-13, "You are my witnesses, declare the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. It is I who have declared and saved and proclaimed, and there was no strange God among you. You are my witnesses, key phrase there. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord. I am God. Even from eternity, I am He. And there is none who can deliver out of my hand. I act, and who can reverse it? What powerful passages and verses that Scripture provides to describe who God is. And I just want to pause this morning. I hope you had a rich, a meaningful, a heartfelt worship this morning in song. Because all the songs that we sang this morning talk and spoke about God's name and who He is and His character. I hope that when we worship, we are not just going through the motions, that we're not just thinking about the music and how it sounds or the audio quality or anything like that, but we'll reflect upon the names of God Himself, and that should move us. One of the truths about God is that He is self-sufficient. He is totally content with who He is. But He brings us into this relationship so that we may experience His qualities and His character and His characteristics. And I hope that each of us have experienced God personally, and in so doing that we are moved in our worship. I'm going to say, you know, not all the songs we sing are that great, and some that I've heard in the past are kind of questionable. But really, a lot of the songs that we sing is our theology, is about proclamation about who God is. And so I hope that we have this great, wonderful relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And not only that, but we recognize who God is when we come to worship. That each time we come and we sing, it is from the depths of our hearts because we know and we've experienced who God is. God is plural. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is perfect and He is praiseworthy. Each week when we come, I hope this is really in our hearts. Can any other God say this? Can Buddha, can Baal, or any of the gods that we may be familiar with say that? Not at all. None can say that. I am. Can any one person say this about him or herself? Do we know of any person that can make this claim? For some of our youngsters, we may hear Kanye thinks he's God, but we all know that he's not really. But no one else can make this claim that I am, that God is everything, and He has all these qualities. Here's a short list of God's names, totally not exhaustive and complete. But God, but He's also known as Elohim. And even Genesis chapter 1 is used. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. God is the strength, the power, the creator. There's El Shaddai, there's God Almighty. There's El Elyon, God Most High. And there's Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. He is our provider. The list of God's names go on. And if we look through the scriptures, we will know what God's names are. The third commandment is completely in line with the first two commandments, and even the one next and the one to follow. It requires us to have this particular view of God, and it requires us to have the right view as well as a proper view of who He is and how He is. Is God Almighty? Is He this big God? Or is He God unmighty and impotent? Or is He a small God? And again, based on the first two, if God is majestic as He is, you shall have no other gods before Him. Do you believe that? If God is the majestic God, then you shall have no other gods before Him. But if He isn't this God, then it's possible for us to have other gods before Him. If He is not as majestic as you may think. If God is strong as He claims He is, then you shall not make someone or something, or you shall not make him into something or someone that he's not, nor make him lesser than he is. But if God is weak, if God is small, then you're able to recreate him into the God that you want, right? If he's not big, if he's not small, then you can manipulate him to be the God that you want. That was a message last week from Pastor Chris. But if God is grand as he is, then we should not belittle his name, that we use it so casually, so flippantly, or even blasphemously. Is God so small that we would attach his name to trivial news? What? Johnny is dating Mary? Oh my God. Oh, this ice cream is to die for. OMG. We're having vegetarian for dinner? Oh God. These are all such trivial things that come out of our mouths. Such trivial things that we're experiencing, and yet we attach the holy, sacred name of God to these things, and we just trivialize it and belittle his name. Is God so small that we would associate his name when we injure ourselves? Slam, slam, Jesus Christ! How many of us do that? Probably many of us do. But is that the way that we should use the precious name of Jesus Christ? And I'll say that I'm guilty of myself that sometimes I use Jesus' name in some kind of funny way. I'll try to mimic some southern person's as Jesus, you know, and put on an accent to it. And I'm guilty of minimizing Jesus' name. Is God so small that we would damn him when we receive bad news just for the sake of being dramatic? And I'm not going to utter that phrase. Is God so small that we fake people out by reciting all this gobbledygook that we think we know about God, yet we don't spend any time in Scripture? We have no examination of the Bible, but yet we present ourselves as someone who's able to recite all these things about God. Simply, we're just being fake, and we're using God's name in vain. We're essentially being a false teacher in that way. There may be variations of these expressions, and perhaps some of us may use it to justify, you know, saying these things. There may be, oh my goodness, or geez, or God, spelled G-A-W-D, you know, just to make it less offensive. But we all know it all kind of falls in the same area, that we're using God's name trivially, that we're using it flippantly and even blasphemously. God is not small, and we should not treat his name as such. So may the Lord forgive us for how we've treated his name and how we've treated his character associated with his name. When we use God's name in vain, it reflects our theology. Isaiah 43 writes, "You are my witnesses." I read that earlier. You are my witnesses that we are proclaiming his name. When we use God's name in vain, it reduces our theology. We make God less than who he is, and we don't represent him in the fullness of who he is. He's not the great omnis that we know. He is not God Almighty. So we reduce our theology. When we break oaths or promises or covenants made in God's presence or in the presence of the spirit of Christian unity, then we lower God's righteousness and his judicial authority. Right? We can say, oh, I swear before God to do this or that or be this or that. And when we break it, really, it lowers, it lowers who God is. When we use God's name in vain, it makes our worship superficial, if not hypocritical. some songs that we've sung. And as just kind of mentioned it earlier this morning, we could sing all these songs and be engaged in it and proclaim God's name wonderfully. But then when we step outside the doors, we go back to using these expressions. And so we make a poor testimony. Our worship is almost superficial because it's not carried out past the doors. It's not carried out Monday through Saturday. Is really just kind of contained here. And in a great sense, it just makes us hypocritical, right? You're using these phrases, oh my God, Jesus Christ, whatever, in this particular manner. You're using it at work or amongst friends. Don't you think there's a disconnect then? Don't you think your friends are saying, wait, aren't you a Christian? Aren't you God-fearing? But yet you use God's name in vain in this way? Doesn't that make you hypocritical? Is God really that big that you would defame him in this way? So when we use God's name in vain, it makes our worship superficial, if not hypocritical. Third, it distorts the accuracy of who he is. Many of us watch television, and there are times when there's these athletes or celebrities show up on televisions or people who are given these titles of Christians. There are times when I just kind of cringe, or when they're about to speak, I just take a deep breath and I say, what are they going to say? Because I really hope they don't say anything contrary to who God is. We've heard those things. Or they make such comments that are just totally shallow, that the only theology they know about God is, God is love, God is love, God is love, and that's it. They never mention that God is just, or God is truth. Right? It's only God is love. And so they have this flawed thinking or this inaccurate or incomplete thinking. And so even in what they portray is inaccurate to who he really is. And fourthly, when we use God's name in vain, is just plain insulting to God. And let me be frank, God will not take an insult to his name lying down. The full commandment from Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 says this, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. God is jealous for his name. God is jealous for his name. And in fact, in Exodus 34, jealous is his name. He's jealous for himself to preserve his reputation, his quality, his character. He's also jealous for us as his people. So really, his name is jealous. But if you have your Bible, please turn with me to Exodus 36. Exodus 36, verses 17 through 21. And I'll read this for us. Exodus 36. I'm sorry, did I say Exodus? I meant Ezekiel, sorry. Ezekiel 36. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, towards the, I don't know, two-thirds in of the Old Testament. Three-quarters of the way in. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, verse 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 17. Son of man, when the house of Israel was living in their own land, they defiled it by their ways and their deeds. Their way before me was like the uncleanness of a woman in her impurity. Therefore I poured out my wrath on them for the blood which they had shed on the land, because they had defiled it with their idols. Also I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands, according to their ways and their deeds, I judged them. When they came to the nations where they went, they profaned my holy name, because it was said of them, these are the people of the Lord, yet they have come out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name. I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations where they went. God will not let his name or his glory be lowered or profaned in any way. Did God punish Israel for profaning his name, as we read? Yes, he did. I can't help, and you know, in preparing for this message, I can't help but think about our own country. That in the distant past, we were respectful and we were fearful of God and His name, and that His name meant something and it was rightfully regarded. I can't say the same today in this postmodern humanistic time in which we're living in. And so often we see it and we hear it in different ways in our daily affairs or on the media or on the radio, whatever it may be, that there's such a demeaning of God and His name. And perhaps this is where we are right now because we've defamed God's name. If you look at where the United States is, even in, especially in terms of faith in connection to God, it's not where we were. There's a candidate running for president now, I don't want to say his name, whose motto is, "Let's make America great again." And I think of that motto and I know his way of making America great again. But we will never be a great nation until we restore God's name over us. I can only say that I don't know how God will exact judgment, how He will bring justice upon those who use His name in vain. But I do trust in God's word that He's going to carry it out if He hasn't already and if He isn't doing so already. I can't say with specifics how it's going to be carried out, but I believe in God's word that He will do it because God is a person of His word. For Israel, God exacted justice for how it profaned God's name, how it belittled God and His faithfulness. But I want us to also look at how God established His own name and He redeemed and restored Israel again to protect His own name. Ezekiel 39:25, I believe is on the screen. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name." Though God loves His people, He acted to preserve His name as their God. As much as we may think how great we are, God is greater and He's going to preserve His own name for His own sake. And I want us to just kind of consider His name and His actions, that if He is jealous for His name, then we as His people should be jealous for His name and to preserve His name where it rightfully should be. Do you think about and pursue the holiness, the holy name of God each week when we pray the Lord's Prayer? Do we pursue and think about the holiness of God's name when we pray the Lord's Prayer? "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed be thy name. The word "hallow" is not an adjective, but rather it is a verb. It is imperative. It is to make holy or to regard as sacred. That is how we should treat God's name, to regard it as holy, as sacred, to make it holy. And so do we do that? Do we do that from our mouths? Do we do that in our lives? As God's people, as followers of Christ, we are to regard God's name as holy. We'll regard His name as holy and to not use it in vain, to show that we actively love our God. May God help us to be careful with His name, to certainly to exalt it, to praise it, to use it to minister to others, but may we not profane it. May we not use it casually or blasphemously or trivially, because God is God Almighty. Some applications for us. maybe it just starts with confession and conscientiousness. That if you're accustomed to using God's name in vain or any variation of it, start with confession and admit your guilt. But then also pray that for the Holy Spirit to help you to not use these phrases, to put them out of your minds and away from your lips. Secondly, be offended when God is offended. When we hear his name being used in a poor way, put an end to it. I know that might be tough. It may be difficult. It could kind of put a relationship in jeopardy or just kind of make it weird and awkward. But again, if we value God's name, then we should preserve his name, as difficult as it may be. It may be to tell someone that's using God's name crudely or blasphemously to stop and to refrain, because it is God's name. And thirdly, know his names for your worship. Incorporate them into your prayers so that you can encourage others through your prayers and through the various names that God has. Appreciate and acknowledge the names of God much more when you worship. Recognize the grandeur of our Lord. Let's pray together. El Shaddai, El Elyon, God Almighty and God Most High, forgive us for having used your name so flippantly, so trivially, so callously, because in your name it is the great I Am, and we should not treat it any less than how you are. Forgive us for our ignorance, forgive us for our pride, forgive us for our idolatry, to think that we can use your name however we wish. Lord, help us to be people who will proclaim you and will represent you well in our character, in our actions, but even in our words and the things that come out of our mouths. Lord, because you are God who is, you are our great big God, and you're nothing less than that. And as your people, we should speak towards that, and we should defend it too. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. May y'all please rise so we can receive the benediction for this morning.